Welcome to Microdoses. This one was perfectly composed in the middle of the night last night during a bout of insomnia. Today, I don't know. But in one of these online live yoga classes last week, they had a stand on our heads. And it turns out, for me, that's actually a super comfortable place based on learning how to do it when I was about 5 or 6 and having a who can kick each other down ongoing competition with my brothers and sisters. So as I was standing on my head and the yoga teacher was listing the benefits of standing on your head, I started wondering about what are the documented benefits, why do I like it. And I remembered back to when I had to write a paper for sort of a thesis paper for my psychiatry residency, and I was feeling very stuck, and despite having loads of work, decided to go ahead and meet friends in Western Massachusetts and took a yoga class and ended up asking the teacher, was there anything good for being stuck? And she said, inversions, or standing on your head to help you change your perspective. And so, separate from changing blood flow or massaging my pineal gland, I've always stuck with the idea that standing on your head is good for changing perspective. But today I'm wanting to think more about how opportunities for changing perspective are good for getting unstuck. And as I was trying to think of how to do this as an experience without forcing people to stand on their head, I tried to sit on my chair and just drop my head between my legs and see if I could see the same view. And from that view, I mostly saw the bottom of the chair, which reminded me of the art piece that was at the Broad for, it's probably still there. It's called Under the Table by Robert Therrien. But so you turn a corner and you walk into a room where there's a very true to life dining room table, but it's so large that you can walk right under the chairs and right under the tables, and instantly, I don't know if there's a person who can walk in the room without feeling like, oh my gosh, this was what it was like being a kid. And the angles of the chairs and the tables look suddenly super familiar. So there's one shift in perspective, but if you just stick your legs between your head and look under your chair, you get some of that. But that shift in perspective, if you're saying, oh, there's the childlike, that regular things can seem wonderful, the bottom side of tables can seem like hideouts, the inside of dress racks. I know for my kids, see forts and all of it. But so that wasn't quite the standing on your head perspective that I'm used to. So then I tried laying on my back on the couch so that I could drop my head down and have that view that felt more similar to standing on my head. And I thought that's a pretty good replication. So if you don't stand on your head, maybe, and you have a couch you can comfortably lay on and put your legs up over the back and let your head drop down toward the floor and just stay in there for a while. And from that position, the floor becomes the ceiling and the ceiling becomes the floor. And the world feels really different. Today when I tried it, I had the thought, I have a very lucky vase of flowers from a friend who was closing out her flower shop. And I thought, this must be the way they invented chandeliers. It looked so beautiful with flowers sprouting out from the ceiling. And the floor was this clean white expanse, so clutter-free. And I thought, this is how they invented minimalism. What would it be like to move through a room with so much white and so much clear space? But so that works. And I would recommend trying that. It also called to mind the way in, I know in drawing on the right side of the brain, drawing texts, people talk about the way that if you turn an image upside down and try to draw it, your replication of it might actually be more accurate. And they suggest it works because when we see things the way we're used to seeing them, our brain has a tendency to fill in the blanks with what we expect to see. And what we expect to see can prevent us from seeing what's actually there. And so turning an object upside down and imitating, trying to recreate what we see there, we may end up seeing more clearly. So famously, you can turn an image upside down and try to draw it, and they say especially things that are a little more complex to draw, like hands, can turn out quite accurate because your brain doesn't have expectations of this upside down body. It doesn't know how to fill in the blanks. It doesn't make assumptions. It gets fresh eyes, which are at times more accurate eyes. So how might making a practice of changing our perspective not only loosen us up, let us see new things, but also give us more accuracy since we're not stuck in our habits? In another way last night as I was trying to participate in the global meditation, and it was a time when I knew I'd be with my kids, so I didn't think I could actually pull myself away and meditate. So I remembered the loving kindness meditation more or less and thought, well, that's when I could talk my kids through. And you may want to join along as I try to recreate what I did with my kids, but this is the way Sharon Salzberg describes it. You sit comfortably with your eyes closed and you imagine what you wish for your life. And there are four phases that you can either say out loud or think silently. And it starts at the easiest level of directing the desire toward yourself. May I be safe. May I be healthy and strong. May I be happy. May I be peaceful and at ease. Then you move outward to direct these wishes, this metta, toward someone who you feel thankful for or who has helped you. May this person I love be safe. May this person I love be healthy and strong. May this person I love be happy. May this person I love be peaceful and at ease. And it was so easy to think of my aging parents during this time for that. And then you move it to a more neutral individual, somebody who you don't like or dislike. The person who had paused at the stop sign when we crossed a street on the way to the park. May they be safe. May they be healthy and strong. May they be happy. May they be peaceful and at ease. And then the hardest part is the one that I noticed was a real opportunity for shift in perspective. Directing these thoughts towards somebody who I don't like or who I really struggle with. And I was explaining this to my kids, and they said, no way, not bad guys. And I said, yeah, no, try it. And so sitting there and thinking, may this person I struggle with be safe. May this person I struggle with be healthy and strong. May this person I struggle with be happy. May this person I struggle with be peaceful and at ease. And I noticed as I did this that there's a real shift in perspective when you try to direct those kind of feelings towards somebody who you normally feel negative feelings toward. And then the final step in this meditation is directing it toward everyone universally. So may all beings everywhere be safe. May all beings everywhere be healthy and strong. May all beings everywhere be happy. May all beings everywhere be peaceful and at ease. The idea today is trying to find ways that we can shake up the natural flow of our emotions or shake up the natural directions of our gaze. And the simplest way I can imagine, if you can do it now and inconspicuously, is find a couch and just lay with your head down so that you reverse the direction of the room. Since I don't have a couch with me and since I want to participate in the experience with you, I'm going to lay flat on this grass and stare up at the sky. And let my eyes work with that beam down and this grass beam up. Or maybe I'll try a headstand so I can be more accurate and to see if I can record upside down. Now my child is flying through the air. Okay, thank you for trying this today. Bye.